Monday, July 21st. The first reading from Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 18. When it was reported to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants changed their minds about them. They exclaimed, "What have we done? Why, we have released Israel from our service." So Pharaoh made his chariots ready and mustered his soldiers, 600 first-class chariots, and all the other chariots of Egypt with warriors on them all. So obstinate had the Lord made Pharaoh that he pursued the children of Israel even while they were marching away in triumph. The Egyptians then pursued them. Pharaoh's whole army, his horses, chariots, and charioteers, caught up with them as they lay encamped by the sea at Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh was already near when the children of Israel looked up and saw that the Egyptians were on the march in pursuit of them. In great fright they cried out to the Lord. And they complained to Moses, "Were there no burial places in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in the desert? Why did you do this to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you this in Egypt when we said, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? Far better for us to be the slaves of the Egyptians than to die in the desert." But Moses answered the people, "Fear not, stand your ground, and you will see the victory the Lord will win for you today. These Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And you lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the children of Israel may pass through it on dry land. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. Then I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and charioteers. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers." Haydock Commentary. St. Gregory of Nyssa says, "Three men rode on every chariot, which was armed with scythes, to cut down all that came within contact. All the army of Egypt could do nothing against them. Yet presently at their approach, the Hebrews were suffered to fall into dismay, that they might learn not to confide in their multitudes, and might pray with greater earnestness for protection." The Israelites had begun to be almost in love with their chains. Every difficulty gives them occasion to repine at the gracious purposes of God and the exertions of his servant Moses. But God bears patiently with the defects of a carnal and long-oppressed nation. The wiser sort pray to God, while others thus upbraid Moses. God did not restrain the perverse will of the Egyptians, but suffered them to be guided by their blind passions and rush presumptuously into the bed of the sea. If the retiring of its waters had been owing to any natural cause, this wise nation could not be ignorant but that, at the stated time, the ebbing would cease, and consequently that they would be overtaken by the waters. But the waters stood up like walls on both sides, and they were so infatuated as to suppose that the miracle would be continued for their protection. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 42. Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will rise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and there is something greater than Jonah here. At the judgment, the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here." Haydock Commentary. Christ says, "I will give no other sign than my death and resurrection, as then, though unwillingly, they will acknowledge me, and people will believe and be converted." So in John it is said, "When you shall have exalted the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he." The word here translated whale signifies a great fish, and was not perhaps that which we commonly call a whale. 3 days and three nights, not three whole days and three nights, but part of three natural days, from which in common computation the nights used not to be separated. We have an instance of this in Esther chapter 4, verse 16, where the Jews were ordered to fast with her 3 days and three nights, and yet Esther, after part of 3 days, went to the king. The heart of the earth signifies Christ's descent into hell, as St. Paul says in Ephesians 4:9, that he descended into the inferior parts of the earth. And this cannot be understood of the grave only. As Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so is Christ to the Jews. For as he by the prodigy of remaining so long in the fish's belly, and afterwards coming forth alive, gave such authority to his preaching that the Ninevites were converted, so Christ by his death and resurrection on the third day shall show that he is the true Christ, and this generation shall acknowledge him for the Messiah.